This is CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Good morning. Stretch and yawn, bitches. Let's do this. Come on. People to see, places to go, things to talk about. All right. I'm going to try Leanne's microphone. It's already making a noise, but let's go. Oh, for God's sake. Ah, what the hell's on with your microphone? I don't know what that is this morning. And every other morning that we've tried this for the last couple of days. I'm not going to let it bother me. Did you notice how quickly I moved on? I mean, that's kind of unlike me. Leanne has seen how, like, these technical things over the years, yeah, you've seen it as well, bothers the hell out of me. Can spoil my whole day.
I'm very proud.
Aren't you proud? I'm not letting it get to me. I'm finally growing up. I'm finally maturing. I'm not a child anymore who loses my temper at the drop of a hat, right? Thank God for that. Isn't that good?
Maya Angelou says, when you know better, you do better.
Is that what she says?
Yeah.
Maya Angelou? Yeah. Is she still alive?
Aye. No.
Is she? Oh, shame, yeah.
She passed away in like 2014.
How old was Maya Angelou? Here's a good trivia question for this morning, if you want to play along with us.
Okay. Ooh.
Was she in our death pool?
No, she was not.
Because we started the death pool after she'd already died, huh?
But also, we never thought Maya Angelou would die. She's like an oracle.
You thought she'd carry on forever, Sia?
Mm. Huh. And then one day, she'd just fizzle into thin air.
She joined the ether.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you just see her in the stars.
All right. Well, how old was she?
In her 80s, that I know.
Uh-huh.
I would say...
Why does the caged bird sing? Is that her?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
84 or 85.
Well, I can tell you the year that she was born in and died in, but I can't help much further.
All right, let's go.
She was born in April 1928 and died in May 2014.
Yes, I remember Cliff Central had just started.
Hmm. Well, listen to this quickly, yes. This is Maya Angelou.
I know that we would not have come together had it not been for the truth that I'm a child of God.
Was she blind?
No, but towards the end of her life, she had bad eyesight.
Okay, because she moved her head around like Stevie Wonder.
I can't even use a calculator. According to my calculations, she was...
3,942 years old. Yeah, that's about right. That's about right,
oh
Maya Angelou.
I think you added her date of birth.
Yeah, I got lots
of... we're still trying to add.
86, there
we
go.
Oh, there we go. Okay, she was 86.
Only 86 after you've just warmed me up with
3,900.
How did you get to 3,932?
I think I added 1928 and 2014.
Maths really is our strong point.
Yeah, we're so bad at maths. We have a cheek, actually, complaining about anybody who's illiterate in this country because we're innumerate.
But at least we fess up to it.
Ding, doo ding.
And we fully own that.
Ding, ding. Oh, yo. Listen, there's so much to talk about today.
Yeah.
Can we just start off with all these commissions of inquiry that are going on? Have you been paying attention to this?
There are too many.
Shit.
And there are too many people being called in. And
yesterday, there were three different commissions that have been put together just to catch crooks. We have got so many greedy... I reckon the whole government, every last motherfucking one of them, has got their fingers and their noses and their hands and their feet in the trough. I mean, you listen to some of this stuff that's coming out from this Basasa. First of all, I don't know what Basasa did. I've seen their label on, like, security guards at various offices that I've been to and stuff. I never really clicked. I was like, oh, okay, security company. These guys, turns out they were paying something like 6 million rand in bribes every month just to keep the government contracts that they had. Now, the worst part of this is the president, our president, former president, Jacob Zuma. You remember he was being paid by that dude in KZN. He was one of the security guards on the payroll.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our former president was like a security guard on the payroll. Now, it turns out Basasa were paying him. I don't think it was 20 or 30 or 50 or I can't remember how much it was a month. It doesn't matter because it's outrageous. It's just it's so servile. It's like, you know, we talk about how we've got black economic empowerment. We talk about how South Africa is not a place for fronting and for affirmative action that's hollow. We want real black leadership and all this stuff. Turns out, if you just shell out the right amount of cash, you can even get the president to just be a front for your organization. I mean, it's just so it's so demeaning of all those people who are trying to make a living out there. Good, smart, sensible, brilliant sometimes people who are out there trying to earn a good living. They're trying to create businesses. I mean, we've got shows here. We've got, you know, people like Bulelani. I've been out into the township with Bulelani in Tembisa, what, 3 times now? I meet these entrepreneurs. They're real entrepreneurs. Old lady who's growing little plants that she sells to people that, you know, chilies will grow on these plants eventually. And there's a guy who's making furniture out of tires and, like, really industrious, hardworking people who every cent that comes to them, they've earned. Mm. Sweat and toil and hard work. You look at these guys in government and you're like, wow, you guys are so, you're such a bad example of how things should work. You're just parasites. You're parasites in the system. Turns out this Bosasa dude who's been giving all this evidence, and I mean, can you imagine how brave he must be to actually come out with this shit? Because he's like fingered Nomvula Mokonyane and Jacob Zuma and all of these people.
He has to be extracted by UFO if he's going to have any chance of surviving.
Yeah, exactly. But what a brave dude, first of all. Even though, I mean, he was involved in all this corruption for far too long. If you ask me, I mean, I wouldn't be able to deal with that on my conscience. I've never paid anyone a bribe in my life. You can go and set your best investigative reporter on me. I've never paid anyone a bribe. I've never been extorted. If anyone's ever tried to do that to me, I've told them to fuck off. I mean, it doesn't take much. You don't have to be brilliant to get that right in life. It just cleans your conscience up and you go to sleep at night. Like, you can sleep.
Mm.
This dude was detailing how he had to get packets of cash money.
How is it?
Like a wage envelope. You know how you, like, in a...
An actual brown envelope.
Exactly. The way that they used to do it during apartheid. They'd pay their servants. I'm saying this to offend you because it's offensive. This is deliberately one of the most demeaning things I've ever heard. Here's your pasela. Here's your... It's just so embarrassing that our government, these are the people who supposedly lead us, who set the laws, who make things happen, and you can pay them off with a little brown envelope because they're so greedy for cash. Oh, it's terrible, man.
I love to see the glass half full, but the past couple of days have really got me asking, who actually is doing right here?
Well, I mean, there are those people, and I was just saying that they're people like these ones that I've these hardworking individuals, old and young and black and white, and
who aren't trying to get their business right now.
No,
it's people in power. You now ask, how big is this web?
No, the people,
because someone, even if they didn't do anything, they must have known something.
It just shows you like how simple and basic so many of these people in government are. I mean, you see these pictures of Nomvula, she's like sauntering around in these designer outfits and with these designer bags and these designer sunglasses. But she's actually just a peasant on the take. She's like, she's just someone who really, she's a basic human being. And the difference between her and someone who actually has a basic lifestyle is she's not honest. The person who has a basic lifestyle, you could be a laborer, be a domestic worker, but you got dignity. You do what you do, you get paid an honest wage.
Hard
you,
work.
You try to put your kids through school and maybe
job
even,
pride.
Wow, I mean, like, pride. There's no pride with these people. These guys and girls in government, holy shit. Just give them a brown envelope. They'll do it. They'll lick your asshole. They will. They'll do whatever you want. You can buy their servile basic natures. So embarrassing. And then these are the people who waft around saying, oh, you know, we are examples of like black excellence and because we're doing well. And you're like, no, don't you do that. Don't you dare speak on behalf of anybody. Don't you dare drag all the hard-working, long-suffering, disadvantaged and permanently, because of your government, disadvantaged working class black people. Don't you drag them down with you. How dare you? How dare you?
Take the pensioners who've had their pensions taken away from them after a lifetime of hard work.
Well, this is one of the commissions of inquiries into the PIC, right? The Public Investment Corporation, who apparently are just dishing out money left, right, and center that isn't theirs. This money belongs to hard-working people in government. There are people who've been, for 30, 40 years, been working in government. They're going to retire, and they hope to have a little bit of money so they can buy something to eat and, like, not live in squalor. PIC is squandering their money everywhere. They helping this cadre and this cousin of this person who's in government and this one's brother-in-law and this one's sister and this one's aunt. I mean, it's just unbelievable the level of this corruption. You have to ask yourself, why are the ANC so dishonest? Why in particular are the ANC so dishonest? Because you could say it's all politicians, but there's no way that you could say anyone in the DA is as dishonest. Even Patricia, who the DA had a big problem with, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She apparently got that sliding door and the alarm and whatever in her stupid house. But you cannot compare that. And it's not just about the money, because it's not about whether or not you took 10,000 rand or 100,000 rand or 5 million rand or 50 million rand. It's not about the amount. It's about the basic integrity of the people in the ANC. Seems that they're all up for grabs.
There are more and more people being drawn into it. Well, that are being exposed after being involved in it.
So once again, how big this web is.
I think it's big, Sia. It's big.
Is it losing the elections big?
No.
Which is also another frustrating part.
Well, seemingly, South Africans, we have so little self-worth that we're prepared to let thieves openly, obviously, clearly guilty thieves run things. It's just unreal. Like the former president was like, yeah, we'll keep on giving you those 10, but you've got to give me a little, like, give me a couple of hundred grand a month. That's the way poor people think. It's the way people, and remember, poverty is not how much you got in your bank account. It's how much you value yourself in your head. Really. I know poor people who have pride and dignity, and they'd never behave like poor people. They might have threadbare shoes. They might have clothes that are in tatters. They walk around with pride. They got their shoulders back. They smile at you because they know they're worth something. And then I've seen people who have money, tons of money in the bank. No pride, no self-worth, groveling around for every scrap they can get, and they're mean about it too. They don't share that. I mean, these guys are all on the take, pigs at the trough. It's unbelievable.
Mm.
And this is all happening for the last 10 years. We had no idea. Mm. It just shows you how stupid we are too. You know, everybody was so horrified when the Guptas...
When it first came out, it was like, whoa.
The Guptas are just terrible people. But the Guptas would never have been able to do anything that they did if all these people in the ANC weren't so easily corruptible. If you couldn't just promise them something shiny, like a crow.
Well, I think humans in general are very...
It's not the humans. Most people are honest, Sia. I really think most people are honest.
Mm.
Most people don't go around stealing everything they can. I mean, you know, we don't lock away the coffee here at Cliff Central.
Hmm.
We don't have to. I don't lock my office, do I? I mean, it's crazy. I don't worry. I mean, I leave my wallet lying around sometimes. I'm not worried.
Yeah.
But if you left it around an ANC person, clean you out. Clean you out. And you just have to dangle something shiny in front of them. A Louis Vuitton bag or a piece of jewelry or a 100 rand in cash. I mean, they start slavering at the chops.
A trip to Dubai.
Yeah. Oh, and listen, they're all going crazy. I watched this ENCA last night. You got to see, like, the ENCA guys are just fawning over this Davos trip. Have you seen this?
Are they just loving it?
I've never seen people, like, fanboying over an economic conference. Now, Davos, by the way, the US and the UK have decided they're not even going to Davos this year. So how much do you really think is going to get done?
It's just, it's a tradition almost in broadcasting, if you're the one who's chosen to go to Davos.
I don't understand it. This Vuyo Mvoko I put on the TV yesterday. He is, like, the guy's got a semi-erection. You could see it. He is smiling like a pedophile on a school bus while he's talking about Davos. He's like, oh, this is so exciting. And they've got some woman over there in Davos, and she's, like, basically sliding down the slopes. She's so excited. And you go, they're going, this minister and that minister and this minister. And I'm like, well, what the hell are they doing there? Because you know all they're going to be asked is one or two questions. First of all, state capture, motherfuckers. Who's going to invest in a country where you've just heard from this Bosasa dude how many of them are on the take? You're like, oh, clearly that's how that economy works. So we're going to have to bribe our way in. Second of all, expropriation without compensation. So how much respect do you have for property rights? Third of all, we know Treasury's planning in the next budget speech, which poor old Tito is going to have to deliver. They're going to say, guess what, guys? There's more tax on the way. Now, when you tax a population, they don't have spending money. It impacts hugely negatively on the economy. So that idea is bound to come up. So what are they doing? These guys are going over to Davos to be humiliated with questions that they wouldn't answer at home. And they actually, and none of them are skiing or anything, because that's not why they're going.
No.
So they're going because it's a story in the news that makes them look like they're interesting or rich or successful or influential or whatever it might be. I mean, it's ridiculous. All of you get back on the plane and come home. You're wasting your time. It's like Emmerson Mnangagwa, who's rushing back to Zimbabwe to take control of the situation there, because it was more important for him to be sauntering around Europe, throwing his weight around, trying to impress everyone. No one's impressed. Run your country properly, douchebag.
That's what we'll be impressed by.
Yeah, run your country properly. Cyril hobnobbing with international bankers. How about you get over here and you put a whole lot of these people in this state capture trial, you put them in jail. How about that? How many people will salute you for that? You know how international money will flow into this country if you start showing your lock crooks up?
It's the only way it's going to work.
Jesus. Anyway, so I just watched that. I shouldn't watch the news. I said the other day I'm not going to do that this year. I turned on the TV like an idiot. I haven't done it in ages. I've been watching this series called Sense8.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Jesus, it's good.
Oh, Siri even agrees.
Siri even agrees. Hey, Siri.
Siri even agrees.
Hey, Siri. Isn't Sense8 a great show?
I'm not finding anything for Sense8.
Oh, well.
Oh,
F you, Siri.
Oh, she's so behind the times.
Such a great show. So I made my way through season one in about a week and a half, and now I'm busy with season two. Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Yeah, I'm really into it. I know all the characters. I know their names. I'm like following them all on Instagram. I'm a big yeah. Oh, I'm fanboying like Ian Cair about Davos.
Like Vuyo Mvoko.
You got to see this. Just turn on. Please do yourself a favor at some point today. Turn on stupid Ian Cair. Just watch how they are fawning over everyone who's at Davos. I mean, we've got some real morons there as well, like that new Minister of Communications, Stellan de Benny Abrams. I don't know what she's doing there. I mean, she's not going to know what to say about anything. She's the one who said SABC mustn't clear out all of those all those employed people who they don't need, those unnecessary people there. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, stop it, because unemployment's a honey, clearly you don't understand how business works. Mm-hmm. Clearly you don't know what dire straits the SABC's in. Just butt out, politician. She thinks that businesses are there to keep people busy. She thinks businesses run as like charity organizations that dole out salaries. No. Clearly, no one's ever sat her down and said, you know, the business here is here to generate a profit.
People need to work.
That's the premise of it.
Right. That's why people go into it. And you know why we hire people, Stella? Not like you in politics. Because in politics, you hire people because they have something on you, or you owe them a favor, or they owe you something, or you can trust them to lie to other people but tell you the truth. Who knows? I mean, politics is so rotten. But Stella, the SABC is desperate. They have no money. Do you know why that is? Because you politicians have been running it. Anyway, so I watched this, and I can't believe how much they're excited about Davos. Oh. You'd think it was the season premiere of Game of Thrones, the way ENCA are carrying on.
You've got to find your happiness somewhere.
Hey, someone told me, Game of Thrones, apparently each episode is movie length in this finale season.
Do you have the time for that?
Oh, I'll make the time.
So it's what, like three episodes in one type thing?
Yeah.
90 minute
episodes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Okay, Paul Clinton, calm down. Calm down.
So.
That's in April. Okay.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about while we're on TV is I see that Mnet, they are promoting the hell out of The Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
I see billboards. I see interviews. I see that everybody's beside themselves over The Bachelor. So I might even have to watch this show.
I'm going to have to watch it, being a Bachelor super fan.
Oh, you're an American Bachelor super fan?
Yeah.
Are you in Bachelor Nation?
Yes, I am.
Are you watching the current one in the States?
I need to start it.
This is the virgin
Colton,
Bachelor.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a virgin?
Yes.
Mm.
How old?
28.
And he's a virgin?
I find that off-putting.
Very creepy. Is he a religious dude, or what's his story?
I don't know.
You know, he's just never had the right girl come around.
Oh, come on. 28 years old.
Pressure.
There's no man in the world who hasn't had sex before 28 unless there's something going on that he's not talking about. That's weird.
He's got a lot of issues, I think, because watching him on Bachelor in Paradise with Tina...
I don't know any of this. I know. By the way, this is like when I see ENCA talking about Davos. I'm like, huh? Yeah.
He was still hung up on a previous girl from the Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah.
And, I don't know if he's moved on. Anyway, I need to get into episode one of the season before I can even say anything.
Oh, so it hasn't started?
It has, but I'm just behind.
Oh.
Yeah, because I missed the first one, and then it was like, oh, no, it's all happening and I'm missing out.
Right.
So I've got to start from the beginning.
Okay, I'm with you.
I'm seeing clips on YouTube and I'm getting angry at that because I haven't seen everything in full.
Well, our local Bachelor, that kicks off on what, the 14th?
14th on Valentine's Day.
It's such a good formula because if you have a whole bunch of beautiful girls fighting over a dude, that's just everyone wants to watch that. I think it's going to be very successful. I think this will probably beat the ratings for all those other shit shows like Survivor and...
The South African versions of...
Mm.
But we called it very, very quickly on the show. We said it's going to be someone obviously gorgeous. They'll be based in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Well, I thought in line with Boer Soeke Vrou, I thought it would also be someone who owns a farm.
Boer Soeke Vrou.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. But the Bachelors are never actually successful, guys.
Yeah, they're not super wealthy or anything. Colton's history is he was a sportsman, a football player.
Well, you see. Because you know what? You have to be that good-looking, to be in such great shape, you basically have to spend your whole time in the gym.
Yeah, there's no time for work.
And our Bachelor owns a gym.
Well, you see. I'm not saying they're unsuccessful, but none of them are like property owners or millionaires. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they wouldn't have time to be in the gym all day.
Well, also, they wouldn't have to go on a search for a partner.
Ladies, be very, very aware. With peace and love. Ladies, just a warning. If a guy is in superb shape, if he has less than 15% body fat, chances are he doesn't have a job. Okay? Honestly, with all the love in the world, if you look at a guy and he's got a six-pack, ding, 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 you're going to be supporting him for the rest of his life.
So what's the middle ground of a decent person?
I don't know.
Just lean.
No, I mean, look, there are probably exceptions to that rule, too. In fact, I'm sure there are exceptions to that rule. But mostly, if a dude is in such good shape, there's no way he's paying attention to the balance sheet. He's not running his own business empire or developing an app or like creating a new segment of the industry. I promise you that this whoever it is, you've got a six-pack or anything like that. Yeah, girls, just be a little bit suspicious. And he's probably going to spend more time in front of the mirror than you.
Just a little.
I know I would if I had a six pack. Oh. I'd be so pleased with myself. Jesus.
Be walking around in that speedo.
Oh, yeah.
Single-handedly bringing back the Baywatch trend.
It's never going to happen.
All right, no, but I'll set my reminder for the 14th of Feb.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm definitely going to watch it. I know it's going to happen. I'm going to become such I get into these shows, like with Sense8 now or with Game of Thrones every time that comes on. I get into it, and then before I know it, I'm...
Yeah, you're very reluctant in the beginning.
Deep in.
But for The Bachelor South Africa in particular, I want to find out what will happen afterwards. You know, because it's all good and well.
Have patience, yeah.
All good and well. You can say you fell in love, and no, it doesn't matter that it's on television.
And
good
Leanne's
on
right.
You.
Why don't you just calm down and watch the show first?
Calm your tits, Margaret.
I think there should be an after-the-show show. Like, what happens when you now have to move into that tiny apartment? What happens when you realize a person snores? What?
Well, I mean,
how do you
shop
together?
Being involved in Bachelor Nation, you know exactly what's happening with each couple who's ever been on.
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
Well, that was the other thing. I need to hear this guy's, this Lee Thompson, the South African guy's accent before I can I can watch it or not.
We must get Lee in here.
Well, if he talks Lee. Like a butt, is that a problem?
No, he doesn't talk like that. He sounds like a normal dude. He's from Pretoria. I know Lee.
Okay.
He's cool. All right, so...
I'm sold.
I need time.
Okay, yeah, we'll get him into the show.
Quickly before we get to the news.
Mm-hmm.
At a hotel restaurant, this guy sees an attractive woman sitting alone at the next table. Suddenly she sneezes and a glass eye comes flying out of her eye socket. It hurls by the man and he snatches it from the air and hands it back to her. "This is so embarrassing," the woman says, and she pops her eye back in place. "I'm so sorry to have disturbed you. Let me buy you dinner to make it up to you. May I join you?" He goes, "Yeah, sure." Woman is a stimulating conversation, stunningly pretty, and the man finds they have a lot in common. Gets her phone number and asks, "You're the most charming woman I've ever encountered. Are you this nice to every guy you meet?" "No," she replies. "You just happen to have caught my eye."
No.
Yes. Come on. That's fantastic.
Right. And you made her sound like an old lady, I must just tell you.
Yeah. Well, who has a glass eye at 25? What's wrong with you?
My gran had one of those.
Your
so
gran
exactly.
had a glass eye?
Yeah, she did.
Did she ever leave it lying around to tell you that she could see you?
No, she was very private about it. The only person who saw it was my brother because they were very good friends.
I've seen people with glass eyes. It's weird that the glass eye never moves, even though the other eye does.
Yeah, that happens. She used to wear sunglasses a lot.
Oh, wow.
How did we get to this? Let's go. Five things you need to know.
All right, the five things you need to know. Dun, dun, da-da, da-da-da-da, da-da. Vincent Smith, Tom Moyane, and others bribed by Bosasa. These people are such crooks. Former Bosasa executive Angela Agrizi says that Vincent Smith, who was the chair of the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services, was paid handsomely along with other MPs. Now you look at these guys, right, and they're all these smug politicians who will tell everybody what to do, and they'll sit on TV, and they'll expect to be called honorable member or minister. What? You should call them crook. Just say, "Hey, you, crook, look here." So this guy said the facilities company paid bribes of 100,000 rand to the National African National Congress members of parliament, including Vincent Smith, each, 100,000 each, for what he calls favorable attitudes towards the company. Agrizi says MPs who were members of the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services were tasked with stopping negative media coverage relating to the department which had given the company contracts. Oh, my God. And by the way, all of that was a waste of money because look at what's happened now. You don't get much more negative media coverage than I'm giving you right now. He revealed Minister Nomvula Mokonyane enjoyed monthly payments of 50,000 rand with groceries. This is so humiliating. Imagine asking a company to buy your groceries. I'd like a block of cheese and three bottles of salad dressing and a lettuce, please. And then I promise I'll do what you want in the portfolio committee. I mean, it's outrageous.
Mm-mm.
No dignity, right? Stupid Nomvula. You stupid woman. expensive alcohol, and meat delivered to her every year for Christmas.
I would like some meat.
Meat.
Send me 50 kilograms of meat.
It's so basic.
It's embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. Can you imagine Nomvula walking into a butchery and walking out with a carcass on her shoulders? That's kind of how it looks to me if you play this out in your imagination.
Mama Action.
It's so bad.
She calls herself.
Yeah, Mama Action. The amounts were for Vincent Smith received 45 grand. Magagula got 30. Winnie Ngwenya, who received 20. And I love the way that they all... Now we could see what the pecking order is.
Yes, like, exactly.
You'd see which one's got the most. Imagine getting 20 grand a month from a company you're not employed by just because they need favors from you. And then never really delivering any favors.
No, it's embarrassing.
Ugh. Tom Moyane, he took over as Commissioner for Correctional Services. The bribes company paid officials at the department significantly. He claims in total about 15 million rand was paid to officials at the Department of Justice and Correctional Services. Agritsi says the payments to the officials were made through a politically connected fixer for Basasa, a guy called Sesini Seopela. Well, of course not, because he's some middleman who would take the brown envelope and pass it on. That's just unreal, huh? He's back at the commission today, so there'll be even more revelations. Keep an eye on that one. The ANC, of course, have denied claims that Bosasa sponsored its Siyangqoba rallies. This guy said, this Angelo Agritsi, said that the company, now known as Global African Group, I also love the way that they call themselves, like, names. It was run by a bunch of white guys, the Watson family from PE.
Mm.
And they give their Global African Group. I mean, they should just call themselves White People Licking Politics Ass. That's what they should call the company.
Mm. Doesn't have the same roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
Global.
They provided catering and sponsored some of the party's rallies. Anyway, the ANC have denied it. Zizi Kodra said, it can't be true.
Zizi at the same time. Oh, but Zizi, there was a time we
Zizi.
Thought.
Zizi's like the new Jimmy Manye. It's just, there's lies pouring out of everywhere. This is much more important. There was a body of a woman following an alert from Transnet National Ports Authority. They found this body of the woman 3 p.m. after the Transnet National Ports Authority alerted it to eyewitness reports of a body that was floating in the water off of Mossel Bay.
Oh, no. Grizzly.
Police said that the body, believed to be that of a teenager, was handed to the forensic pathology services and police, and they've opened an inquest docket. But you imagine there's a body floating around in the sea off of Mossel Bay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, creepy. Unknown gunmen stormed a long-distance bus and assaulted and robbed the 49 passengers inside.
Oh, man.
Here in Johannesburg, the incident happened in a Greyhound bus in Witbank early on Saturday morning. Gavin Gates from the South African Community Crime Watch, a non-profit organization, said he and other members of the organization arrived at the Witbank police station where the bus stopped after the incident to help the victims. Now, you know what this is, right?
What?
So a lot of these people, probably because it's a long-distance bus, are going to Zim or Malawi or Zambia or Mozambique. They've probably got their life savings from that year with them, and they're going to go and visit their family for the first time in a year. Maybe it's even 2 years. Who knows? Because we all know how many immigrants we have in South Africa who are trying to scrape together a living, and then they take that money back to their families so that they can live. It's usually quite a sizable amount of money.
And goods as well, and gifts. They've
been saving up all year. Now, whoever these gangsters are who came up with this plan, they must have cleaned up there, because these people, this is a year's work.
And they're carrying cash, because a lot of them don't have bank accounts here.
Yeah.
And just what they're packing as well.
And of course, some of them are not even legal immigrants, so now they're going to be probably locked up if they file a case. Yeah. So they'll never get that money back. No. Basically, you're just screwed. Everything you've done for a year is gone.
Oh, man.
And there's no recourse for you, because the South African police aren't going to help you if you're an illegal immigrant. So you imagine how desperate this situation is. Apparently, no passengers were hospitalized. Most had head injuries because they were pushed and shoved down the bus and also hit with pistols on their heads.
I know.
But none of them had to go to hospital. I mean, it's just terrible, right? From what I gathered, the bus driver was forced to continue driving, and the armed men were looking for a specific passenger who had money on him. When they didn't find the person, they instead ended up demanding all the passengers' valuables. Terrible.
So they were stalking this one guy.
No.
Excuse me.
Are you all right? Oh. Bachelor Nation, she's getting excited.
I have no idea what's going on, but yes.
And wow, I saw this video. Someone sent... I always get very nervous when I see these videos of car accidents because I don't actually like to see them. The city confirmed a high-speed crash occurred on the N1 outgoing at the Sable Road off-ramp after midnight on Monday morning, leaving the driver of the BMW seriously injured. So this is terrifying. I saw the video and it's really quite scary.
Mm.
It's the latest example of the devastation wrought by illegal street races on our streets. What's equally concerning is the group of people gathered on the overpass who were filming the incident. That's how the video is going around. That's the Mayoral Committee for Safety and Security, a guy called J.P. Smith, who said that the traffic service was aware of that video clip that was doing the rounds on social media. It is representative of an ongoing problem that our traffic officers have to contend with week in and week out, particularly the ghost squad, Smith said. Fortunately, this time no other persons were hurt, but there have been plenty of cases before where the innocent persons have paid with their lives because of the recklessness and arrogance of others.
I don't understand who's got the time or money for it, because you're wrecking your car, firstly, by taking part in something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear it from my home. I can hear it on certain nights, the drag racing in the streets and the motorbikes and stuff. And would you want to go and watch something like this?
Well, the worst is the original driver was arrested on charges of reckless and negligent driving and drunken driving.
Oh,
both he and the passenger were charged with defeating the ends of justice. If you've seen the video or you've seen the pictures, because I got mine on WhatsApp from this group that I'm a member of, I just saw some of the pictures and then watched one of the videos, but the injuries are horrific. Oof. These legs have been lacerated. It's terrible. Ugh. So anyway, just don't do this. I don't know why people do this. It's crazy. And of course, there's no insurance on the car, so now they're screwed. All right, that's all the things you need to know this morning. It is 18 minutes to 7. You want to do Said by Sia. Let's check in quickly on...
crypto?
Bitcoin 3574. That's $3,574. Ethereum at $117. Still in the shitter.
Basically,
that's the conclusion.
Yeah, there's no other way to say it. I'm trying to be optimistic here, but it's really not. Sia, take it away with Said by Sia.
Well, this is quite something, especially coming out of Somerset West of all places.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. A security guard who works at a shopping mall, his name is Andres Monari, was already making and doing something quite extraordinary. He was minding his own business on duty at the shopping mall this past Saturday when he saw a man follow a young child.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden saw this man whip out a knife and thought, okay, this situation is not going well, and actually swooped in and was able to constrict this man. And this ended up being a perpetrator who was actually following this kid with some harmful...
Managed to what? To do
force
what?
Force him to the ground and restrain him.
Yeah.
And this is actually a man who, of course, had some horrible plans in place to follow this child. But this is what comes out of this. So, of course, now Andres Monari, the 47-year-old security guard, has been hailed as a hero.
Hmm.
For intervening, and the mall and the community have now banded together and have given him an Excellence in Service Award for his outstanding performance and dedication this past weekend. It really is incredible that he was just minding his own business on the call of duty, just saw someone who took out a knife and was intending on actually stabbing the boy in the chest. All the boy sustained was a slight flesh wound in the scuffle, but thank goodness that the guard anticipated that the suspect was about to do this and was able to stop this from happening. But this is what I find so big. So thank goodness Andres actually stepped in and helped this out, because it turns out this weird man who was carrying a knife is actually a UK citizen by the name of Mark Hay, who has a history of going after children.
Oh, my God. I'm so glad they got him.
Right?
Yeah.
Just in the past couple of weeks alone, Mark Hay has also assaulted a 10-year-old girl at the same mall and also assaulted another girl in the presence of her mother last 2 weeks ago.
Like, is this what he does all day?
What a creep.
Imagine if Andries did not step in. Who knows how many other kids could have been assaulted in this process. So it's not exactly clear what he does. This Marque is now going to appear in court tomorrow for the first time, as investigations are taking place to find out, like, what else happened to the other kids, why else did anyone not say anything. Yeah. But from this bizarre, you know, fate happening where Andries was at the right moment to see this happening, he decided to just swoop in and help this little kid out. And now we have
an important detainment.
Thank you. A horrible person who's now going to face their rightful time in court. I think it's absolutely extraordinary. So to 47-year-old Andries Monari, who's just a security guard at the mall, who was able to apprehend this horrible, horrible man. Jeez, we thank you for that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Horrible man, though.
Sheep.
How do people like that carry on doing stuff like that? How does that happen? No, get away with it.
We talk about it all the time, and human trafficking, and so, yeah.
Disgusting.
That's just it by Sia for this morning.
All right. Manny Pacquiao has got an anger translator in order to, ahead of a fight, learn to swear at his opponent. Imagine you needed, first of all, if you need an anger coach or an anger translator, it's not going to be very real. Like, it should come naturally to you. Being angry should be easy and natural for people. Manny Pacquiao needs this dude to help him. How's that?
So this guy's got to basically, the translator's not angry, but he has to build up the anger in order to get the stuff across.
Right.
In the right way.
And teach him, like, how to be rude to people. It's kind of weird, huh?
Oh, no.
Isn't that bizarre? We're going to check in with KF Malindi just now. He's live in Zimbabwe about that Zim shutdown, because there are, again, lots and lots of people talking about that. And then we got Warren Hansen, who's going to join us in a little while. He's actually going to South by Southwest. He writes code for a living, and he's developed two amazing apps. He's self-taught, and he's managed to get his business up and running despite the South African economy, which I always think is amazing. So we'll talk to him about his business. We'll find out what he's up to. He emailed me out of the blue, and it sounded interesting. So I thought, yeah, let's
very
talk
good
to this guy. Yeah, absolutely. And then later on, Leander Reddy is going to pop by. She's an actress known for her roles like Detective Inspector Priyanka Naikar in Isidingo and Vaneshri Devan in ETV's Scandal. And audiences now get to experience a whole new side to her as Janet in the movie 3 Days to Go. Very exciting.
A lot of really nice, cool-looking South African movies coming out at the moment. I mean, obviously, there's Stroop, who we spoke to yesterday about, and I'd love to see that. Then there's this one that's been doing the rounds on Netflix advertising, St. Agnes.
Oh, yeah?
Which is a South African film about a Catholic school for girls. Obviously, it's not a documentary. It's,
yeah.
It's fiction, it's but fiction. It looks really creepy.
Oh.
Yeah, well, it's quite well done.
I didn't find all girls' schools creepy. They fascinated me as a child.
Sure.
For all the wrong reasons.
The forbidden land.
Forbidden fruit. Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Yes. Very good. So, okay, there's that. And so we've got a busy day ahead of us today on cliffcentral.com.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right, what we're going to do is we'll get back with some news in a moment or two. We've got a couple of stories, some clips I want to play you from various shows I've been watching, and take your calls, because that we can do now. 0861-555-189. It rings right here in front of me on the screen, and then I just click the button that says air, and then it comes on. It's amazing.
It's magic.
0861-555-189. Whatever you want to talk about, you can call us and we'll put you on. Listen to this. This is a great song from Tresor. I heard it on Apple Music the other day. Tresor, local dude and AKA, and it's called Mount Everest. Listen to this. You're going to like this, I can tell you. Very cool song. Some sometimes I'm the last one to catch on.
This is CliffCentral.com.